You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 Voice. Go to KVOI.com if you miss anything, podcast, anything that I said that pissed you off. You want to hear yourself on the radio if you ever called in or a guest. You don't have to say, hey, send me a clip. You can just go to KVOI.com and download it and listen to yourself over and over again. It's good stuff. It's good, good stuff. Thanks to David Schweikert and the unpaid intern. Tonight is a wonderful party at the Tucson Games and Gadgets Short Rest Tavern. 5:30 start. My brother just texted me. He goes, you didn't say what time it started. 5:30 start, big brother. 5:30. Tucson Mall, second floor, right by the Sears Roebuck. So Mark, as you can tell when he comes on the show, is a very fun guy, and he is a great host. So, I've been looking up the dangers of wearing an N95 mask too long, and when I get to that story, you're gonna love one of the sources of people who told us not to wear N95 masks.
Does it rhyme with EBE?
Possibly, and it might have to do with a erotic journey from Milan to Minsk before it's all over. One of my friends at the U of A, they work in the government relations kind of area over there, says U of A PD or nobody else on campus is actually enforcing a mask mandate. They only bust the employees, you know what, and the professors might send a student to the dean of students if they don't have their mask on. We'll get to all that and plus the little Jeffrey Epstein cover-up just to finish off our day here on Wake Up Tucson. Tomorrow we have a Pizza TED Talk at 7:07. Then Mark Van Buren will be here, top 10 Sidney Poitier movies. And former acting director of ICE Immigration and Customs will be here, Ron Vitello, in the third hour. So, wonderful variety. Very wonderful. Let's go to our good friend, HT Metals owner and part of the Tucson Business Owners Organization with Dr. Ackerley. It's our good friend, Carlos Ruiz. Carlos, good morning and Happy New Year.
Hi. Good morning, Chris. Hi. Happy New Year.
So you were one of the co-chairs with Jesse Lugo trying to get the troops to fight this Prop 206 monstrosity, which is the $15 an hour inside the city of Tucson with really bad, horrible enforcement provisions.
Yes.
Which and, regretfully passed.
regretfully, yes. And so, you know, now business owners need to prepare themselves, especially, you know, the smaller business owners that maybe don't have, an HR department or compliance, HR compliance department, because, you know, I have a feeling given the nature of the people that sponsored this, that once this department is up and going, they're going to want to test the system. Sure. And it's not just, and just so your listeners and all business owners listening, just because this was billed as a minimum wage increase, it's really the compliance. So if you think you're not going to get sought after because, oh, I don't pay minimum wage, their biggest thing was wage theft. So they're going to be going after people that are probably paying, I'm suspecting, that are paying more than minimum wage, but then the employee says, well, you know, I clocked in about a half an hour, or they told me to sit and wait and do this, and I was, you know, there not on the clock, but they had, and so those are the kind of things that people are going to have to be careful, or the tip, you know, there's changing in how tips are handled. So people really need to get informed about what this initiative that's now in effect is going to do to their business and their HR payroll.
So the other part of this, which of course for the workers out there, I just thought about this as you were talking. So Harvard Business Review said that the bump in the minimum wage in California cost the average working person, it was an 18 to 20% cut in take-home pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you take the Biden 7% inflation, right? So between mm-hmm. Rahina Romero and the food bank and everyone who wanted this and the Biden administration, they're now screwing the working poor out of somewhere between 25 and 27% of their dollars. Just want everyone to let that sink in. I'm sure that'll all work out in the end, as Joe Higgins would say. So Make It Matter Monday, January 24th. Tell us what the Tucson Business Owners is presenting to help these good people.
Okay. So
help these wage thieves. Sorry, I just want to make sure.
The wage thieves, all of us, and we're not job creators. We're now wage thieves in the city of Tucson.
I got one more thing. Remember the guy C.J. Boyd, who was the head of the Yes, who called all of you wage thieves. He is now either chief of staff for Kevin Dahl on the city council or some sort of. he got a gig out of it. Just want to tell everyone that.
All right.
Good job, C.J.
All right. So what we're going to do on the 24th, starting at 5:30 at St. Philip's Plaza in the courtyard, we're going to have the chief operating officer of Focus HR. His name is Greg Stutz. He will be giving a presentation on how to prepare for for the compliance to Prop 206. You know what and. I just full disclosure, I use Focus HR to handle all of my payroll and workers' comp and all the other stuff. So they are very much on top of what employers are going to need to do to make sure that they're the record keeping and what have you is taking place now. So that way, if you're a business owner and you're handling your own payroll and what have you, you will know what to what to do, how to protect yourself, because why would they do this unless they wanted to test how successful they can get some of these employers.
Where and what's the details? The where and when's and how, sir.
It's St. Philip's Plaza, January 24th. That's a Monday, a couple Mondays from now. And it's at we start at 5:30. Little mingling and having some cocktails, and then Greg will give his presentation. We'll have some handouts for people, it'll be interesting to hear what he sees as an HR payroll provider, a company that where it's like a leasing employee leasing company. What he thinks, it'll be interesting to see if he's come up with certain things that people need to watch out for that we all haven't thought of.
All right, so go to TucsonBusinessOwners.org. Scroll down a little bit, you'll see a little story about it, and you can. Hit RSVP. Again, it's 24th of January. It's a Monday, 5:30 start at the St. Philip's Plaza. So, Carlos, thanks for putting this together.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Keep up the fight. This is Carlos Ruiz. He's he's part of Tubo. And according to Rahina Romero, Adelita Grijalva, and Rex Scott, and C.J. Boyd and Kevin Dahl, he's a wage thief. So.
Yes, as all business owners or job creators are.
You are
in the city of Tucson.
According to the city of Tucson, guys like Carlos who create jobs and create wealth for people is a wage thief. So I'm sure that'll all work out in the end. So Carlos, thanks for doing this.
Right.
Remember, January 24th, Make It Matter Monday, TucsonBusinessOwners.org to RSVP.
Very good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, we'll talk again, my friend.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Carlos Ruiz. again, think of all these folks. You know, according to Rahina Romero and Rex Scott, some of your favorite business owners, you know, Wendy from Chef Chic, the Flores family, CJ Ham, all of these people, Lindy, wage thieves. That's how sick these puppies are. It's really amazing. All right, when we come back, let's do the RTA thing. And then we'll get into the slop of Jeffrey Epstein before this is all over, I think. So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, the Bridge of Khazad-dûm, Lord of the Rings. We're celebrating games and gadgets in the Short Rest Tavern. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're geeking out for tonight's happy hour at Tucson Games and Gadgets. Please join us, 5:30 p.m., should be there till about 7:30, as I usually go our happy hours, but please join us. Second floor of Tucson Mall over by the old defunct Sears. Let's get to the RTA real quick. So the Budster, who, again, I don't know why the county has not given him a PR job, and I don't know what's going on. I guess it's more effective that he doesn't have a county name behind him or something. Okay, I mean, it's pretty close. So, he talks about how the tax was estimated to raise $2 billion for all Pima County communities, including the Tohono O'odham Pasuayaki tribes, everyone, the reservations. Are you allowed to call them reservations? I always call them nations, personally. Thanks, bud. Bud, come back into the 21st century. Six communities, unincorporated county, would have an equal seat on the RTA board. The money's been used to build a variety of things, he lists. Kazachik. So the city leaders feel they've been ignored or not taken seriously. Why would anyone in this region take Rahina Cunningham and Steve seriously? You don't take your job seriously. Why should they take you seriously? So Kazachik says, our projects got pushed to the back of the bus. Sounds racist.
We're going there.
Yep. And projects in Sarita, Oro Valley, Marana, and the county, they all got front loaded.
Yeah, except for, I don't know, the streetcar. That one.
That was the first one out the gate.
Correct.
For like a lot of money.
Ding.
Not that Bud would ask him that question. Well, Steve, what about the streetcar? Oh, I'm sorry. What about ruining Grant Road? Remember that whole widening mess? That was right at the beginning. I guess Steve forgot about that. Remember, Steve, when you used to have suicide lanes on Grant Road? You jerk. Too good. Let's see. Hold on. I got a comment on Bud using the word reservation. Hold on. Oh, from someone who is Native American, reservation is politically correct. I did not know that. I still like nation better. So after he says that, and we just told you what they've been doing, how about Houghton Road? That's mostly in the city, right? That east side, right? Am I missing something? That's some major crap. Yeah, but the streetcar right off the bat, right? And the idea that the streetcar has some sort of regional value, no.
And all the intersections they blew out with bus pullout lanes, right? And double left turn lanes.
Doesn't matter.
Front-loaded.
Steve, that's back of the bus, according to Steve.
The bus pullouts are the back or the front of the bus.
Bill Beard, how many city projects have been sidelined for 30 years because the neighborhoods didn't like something? Oh, thank you very much. Hey, Steve, they're also doing, of course, because it's the city's fault too, right? Look at the city with RTA money has ruined Broadway. Look at Rocco, right? So I was talking to someone in the traffic world about this. So we think that that thing started like August, September of 19. The Broadway between Country Club and Tucson Boulevard, and it's not even done. Rocco said, last time Rocco was on, he said February. I'm starting to hear March. Okay. So I like this. It says, that means the smaller district, this is Bud's words. This means the projects in the smaller jurisdictions were done early before the recession hit and the pandemic slowed business. Sales tax revenues lagged and never lived up to expectations. Sales tax revenues lagged? I thought they were pretty solid. I mean, Oral Valley did great because they were collecting off of online.
They annexed the auto mall.
I don't know where Bud gets that number. So Kozachik says there's $200 million in city projects that were underfunded or unfunded. The RTA has changed the rules. So they had a one-hour session to determine where it could get money to fund its own project without being in the RTA. Cunningham, look, we'll go in this alone if we have to. We have to make it clear to the RDA. If we got to go alone, we will. Unquote.
So on the screen, the darker dots are the completed intersection safety and capacity improvements. Those all look like, I can't even count the number of dots that are in the city of Tucson.
So the city wants proportional rates where they have more votes than anybody, right? Because of the money that they're saying proportional. Now, anyone else in the region, even people in the city of Tucson, know that the city's nuts, okay? And the county can be problematic also. So they'll tell you that the one municipality, one vote is the only thing that makes the RTA effective. So I get it. The city is always desperate for money. That's what this is. I got it. They think they can manage their own take the money that's being, what they see is whatever the money that's being collected within the city and going to the RTA, right? So Steve, shouldn't I be pissed off about the streetcar? I think I've been on it once. Maybe twice. To go where? All right, before we go to break, let's bring on Mr. Heller. Heller, what's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, the city wants proportional voting. That's because they want to protect the integrity of the vote.
They're into that, aren't they? So.
Yeah, but they want proportional voting. They want to secure your vote and your right to vote, but they don't want that vote. What they want is proportional voting.
Yep.
Hmm.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Have a good day. You almost sound like Yoda at the end right there. When we come back, there's a bunch of stuff I got to get to. I do want to get to this Coulter thing on the Epstein thing. So we'll do that. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. We're geeking out. One of my favorite pieces from the Last Crusade Indiana Jones movie. It's called Escape from Venice. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Can't wait to see you guys tonight over at Tucson Games and Gadgets, 5:30 start. Short Rest Tavern in the back. So listener Robert just sent me an email about masks and beards. I never heard or read about masks. If that a mask itself is potentially effective, beards make all masks useless. OSHA regulations require respirators be fit on clean-shaven faces. Now masks aren't respirators, but beards prevent the effective sealing of masks. It is something that, it's funny, when I was looking this up before about N95s, it does talk about how a beard, an actual beard, you can't seal a N95, so it becomes pretty much useless. Now, this is an interesting one. This is from January, actually it's from about 1 year ago, January 28th of 2021. Doctors, this is from Rochelle. She recommends the general public not wear them. This is from CDC Director Rochelle. They're very hard to breathe in when you wear them properly. They're very hard to tolerate when you wear them for long periods of times. Unquote. Um, both Fauci and Walensky say you don't need to wear an N95 because they're uncomfortable and hard to breathe in. Then, according to, let's see what we got here. This is from the California Department of Public Health. This is their N95 respirator mask FAQ. It talks about what can happen if you wear these things too long. And they talk about it can cause trouble breathing and possibly problems with abnormal increased heart rates if you wear an N95. So anyone with a heart or respiratory condition should definitely check it out with their doctor before wearing your N95. Imagine people calling up their doctor who you can barely get through to them through their voicemail anyway to ask them the question on your, should I wear an N95 mask? So let's change gears here a little bit. This is from before the holiday. No, it was after the holiday. Sorry. January 5th. This is from Coulter on the Epstein problem. Big problem. Big problem, Jerry. Our media could not be less interested in the Epstein child molestation ring. And except for sole exception of the Palm Beach Police Department, every arm of government has bent over backwards to bury the case. The jury's courageous delivery of a guilty against Epstein's pimp, Ghislaine Maxwell, was sort of a reverse jury nullification. The U.S. Attorney's Office, the prosecution, did everything it could to get an acquittal, but the jurors defied them. As for the media coverage, did you know that the FBI found an Epstein's cache of sex tapes labeled, quote, name of underage girl plus name of VIP, and then lost them? Immediately after Epstein's arrest at Teterboro in July of 19, the FBI executed a search warrant on his New York mansion. Following a day-long search, they discovered a hidden safe in the closet of the fifth-floor dressing room and used a saw to break into it and found an enormous collection and photos of naked girls and CDs of girls having sexual relationships with influential men. The agents left, abandoning the photos and CDs with Epstein's employees free to wander about the place. As Kelly McGuire, FBI special agent in charge of the search, explained during the trial, they only had a warrant to search the house but not to remove evidence. I'm laughing because I should be crying. Evidence at the heart of the entire scheme. Did it occur to McGuire to leave a single agent behind to get the to guard the CDs? How about the intern who just gets the coffee? You'll never guess what happened next. The CDs and photographs disappeared. By the time the FBI came with a new warrant, 4 days later to remove the CDs and photos, they were gone. Shouldn't this be on CNN? I know they have 90% drop in ratings a year over year, but or MSNBC or Fox.
They'd haul the head of the FBI.
Fox is also one of them. They should be. I don't know. Fox is probably better on this, but this is kind of a big thing here, kids. They're better. They're a little better, probably. Not by much, probably. Later, after a few phone calls, Epstein's lawyer, Richard Kahn, returned the cache in two safe suitcases. I had no idea they were important. I was just tidying up. So the lawyer had his. This was testified to by Special Agent McGuire. This is Coulter's words. That's the last time she's going to trust the lawyer of a pedophile. Boy, is my face red. Darn it. Oh, well, what are you going to do? How could any search warrant for Epstein's residence fail to specify the videos? The reasons the tapes are kind of important, it was perfectly clear, certainly by that point, that Epstein had no legitimate source of income to fund his Caligula lifestyle. Obviously, the most important question is on behalf of who? The tapes, because basically, they're saying that he was kind of making money on arranging these things and possibly blackmailing on the back end. As further evidence that there is absolutely no cover-up, she puts that in capital letters, the New York Times has never breathed a single word about the CDs lost in the FBI's botched search, nor has the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, nor the Los Angeles Times. Wait, I'll make this easier. Here's a list of all the major New York... Here's a list of all the U.S. major newspapers that did report on McGuire's breathtaking revelation. Are you ready? Here we go. These are the long list of papers that reported about these CDs and tapes that Special Agent McGuire testified that they saw, left there, and just left them unguarded and came back 4 days later. The long list of papers is, number one, the Miami Herald. Hold on, let me get them. Number two, the New York Post. That's all. The list is over. Oddly, media and the rest of the world seem to find McGuire's testimony about the vanishing CDs somewhat more newsworthy. The story of the missing tapes was covered repeatedly by the Daily Telegraph in London, the Independent in the UK, the Daily Mail, Ireland, Economic News Russia, and the Daily Mail UK, among others. So the rest of the world got it. We didn't. Then she goes, the totally not a cover-up gets weirder and weirder. Epstein had vast wealth. We don't know where it came from. Normally, the IRS is extremely curious about unexplained blows of riches. Did the IRS decide in this case? Well, he may be a committed and energetic pedophile, but as far as we know, he's a conscientious taxpayer. Epstein spent decades aggressively cultivating powerful, important men and quite a few from foreign countries, of evidently taping all of their activities. Why wasn't the CIA concerned? Finally, that our government wasn't concerned about how much blackmail material Epstein had gathered on high-level U.S. officials. Doesn't the FBI or the Secret Service try to prevent that kind of situation? So again, right? There are various folks that Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell seem to be doing these horrible activities with, for, against, however they were doing it. Then we'll talk about Then she goes on her second one. Let's look at the government's long record of zealously trying not to unravel the case. Barry Kirchner was the first prosecutor to let Epstein off for child molestation. The local police presented then Palm Beach State Attorney Kirchner with bales of evidence. They had affidavits from dozens of witnesses, the women who recruited him, the butler who cleaned up, as well as the records of Epstein's molestation appointments, one delayed because of a victim's soccer practice.
Ugh.
Pretty much we know everything today about Epstein's sex ring was unearthed by the Palm Beach police and, oh my Lord, the Palm Beach sex ring was unearthed by Palm Beach PD back in 2005 and handed to State Attorney General Krischer on a silver platter. Five underage girls gave police sworn testimonies that Epstein had sexually abused them, backed by 17 other witnesses. When Krischer brought the case to a grand jury, weirdly, he only allowed one of the girls to testify and then attacked her on the stand. According to an extensive review by the Palm Beach Post, most of Krischer's 28-page investigative file consists of dirt against the teens and against the police given to him by Epstein's lawyers. The grand jurors, who have been meticulously kept in the dark by Krischer, ended up voting for a single charge of solicitation of prostitution. He pleaded guilty and got 5 years probation. No jail time, no record as a sex offender, no criminal record whatsoever. Only one paper reported at the time or ever that the Palm Beach prosecutor, Krischer, gave Epstein probation for his years of child abuse. Epstein's friends claimed he was a victim of a crusade by the Palm Beach police chief. who they called a born-again nutcase. Apparently, anyone who thinks prison is appropriate for a mastermind of a massive child sex ring has got to be, quote, born again. In fact, there's no evidence that Ryder is even Christian other than the fact that he's never won an award from the ADL. But, of course, the ADL gave the Jurisprudence Award to Barry Kushner. Then we had U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta proceeded to make a deal with Epstein, with Kushner essentially operating as Epstein's defense counsel, because the police chief took the evidence to a completely separate law enforcement agency, the federal government. So Alex Acosta proceeded to make a deal with Epstein. According to journalist Vicky Ward, Acosta later defended this sweetheart deal to the Trump transition team, explaining, quote, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and leave it alone, unquote. That's interesting. The Acosta, the U.S. attorney, said, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and leave it alone. Again, this should be a story that blows it all up for a lot of people out there, and it's just ugly. I can just keep going, but it'll just make you sicker. But it's something that just had to be out there. I mean, who else is out there? And of course, you know, he somehow hung himself very high in his own jail before it was all over. Sick stuff, man. Very sick. And again, the media, right? Think about this. The Washington Post, Democracy Dies in the Darkness, right? And that thing that it's all these papers, including the Star, put on their masthead that says they're defenders of something. Kind of a joke. Thank you very much. Let's go to break. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Looking forward tomorrow for Pizza TED Talk. Top 10 Sidney Poitier movies, and Ron Vitello, former acting director of Immigration's Customs Enforcement. And we're going to be talking about him, about the mess at the U.S.-Mexico border. Wake up, a little mischief managed. We just could have called, that could have been the name of the show, Mischief Semi-Managed. Wake up. All right. Our listener, Keith, I thought those Zep songs were just for me. And then he puts Hobbitses. Correct. It's for both of you. It's for Frodo and Keith. That's what we're doing here. So, again, we're playing some of these tunes to celebrate the adventure of craft beer, meads, and wine, and snacks and stuff at Tucson Mall at the Tucson Games and Gadgets Short Rest Tavern in the back. Very fun place. Mark's a heck of a host. Should be very fun. Again, second floor, right by the Sears. He said the best place, what you do is you park between the Sears and Dillard's. On the north side there, and then what you do is you come right into that door and just walk straight, and what will happen is you'll see right on the other side of the, you know, the kind of the where the lower level is, you'll see right on the, just go straight and just kind of go around to the right. The dead Sears will be on your right, and Mark is right there in that corner next to the Sears. And then if you want to find the tavern, you're gonna have to figure it out when you're there. You're Wakeys. You're better than the average listener, so.
Look for the scale model of Stonehenge.
He does have a pretty big dragon. That's probably about 8-9 feet long, 5-6 feet tall, like a silver one that you'll see. So I don't want to give anyone a total spoiler alert, but, you know, on Disney Plus, they have the Book of Boba Fett show. And thank God. He made his appearance last night. Machete, Danny Trejo's on it. I was just like, we were like so happy to see Danny Trejo last night. All right, let me, I promised this to a few of you earlier, and this is about some of these vaccines and the promises that have been made on the vaccines. So let's go to Alex Berenson has been covering this for a while. So he goes through the whole thing. So this is August 9th of we got August 9th. Boost the insanity. We got that. Then we have A Democracy Dies in the Darkness. This one says Fauci says three shots will be optimal regimen for vaccination. Fauci says he wouldn't be surprised if COVID vaccines will require three shots for a full regimen. What else do we got here today? Mix and match COVID boosters, why they just might work, from the CD, from the New York Times. Atlantic, you should get a booster now. What else do we got here? When's the best time to get a booster? Now it's a six-month interval. Yes, you should get a COVID booster. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Let's see what else we got here. This is from BBC. Why do boosters work if those two doses struggle? And then, of course, we have the new one, which is, will people who have received the third dose still be vulnerable to future variants? Then you head over to my boy, the COVID crusher here. And this is from The Independent. I put this up on my Facebook page. If you remember February 28th, Dr. Doom, Mr. Fauci, says all three vaccines are 100% effective against death and hospitalization. That didn't work out either. And then, of course, this is Fortune Magazine. When they said originally, this is from April 1st of 21. It has a picture of Rochelle. And it says, it's official. Now, think about this headline. It's official. This is April of last year. Excuse me. It's official. Vaccinated people don't spread COVID-19. So we got that going for us, which of course is untrue. But again, for them, it's not untrue. If someone who's not part of the narrative says something, they're liars, they're nutballs, all of these other things. If you're part of the narrative cast, then remember the science is changing. The COVID crusher is in, he has charts from all over the world. Now, this is the one from, what is this? Oh, this is Iceland. I didn't even know they had more. So their COVID infection per 100,000 in Iceland. So they have, these are kids under the age of 15. And they show the COVID infection per 100,000 under the age of 15. And right now, the number of unvaccinated kids is slightly lower than the kids that are vaccinated in relation to COVID infection. So, you know, I'm not saying any of this is easy. It's not easy. But Matthew keeps saying it. He says, you know, in a much better way than I can probably, is this single variable thing. And that's where the danger has been. So you're only making decisions for the single variable, ignoring all the other variables. And then when someone says, hey, what about those variables? They kind of tell you to shut up. That is not really leadership land, as we like to say. So, all right. So tomorrow, Pizza TED Talk, I want you to get in your brain tomorrow your favorite for our food Friday. It's Pizza Week. It's National Pizza Week. I want your favorite place from back home, if you're from someplace else. And then I want your favorite local, one or two local places for pizza. And then we'll talk about, the TED Talk will be about the perfect pizza. That's what we're going to talk about before this is all over. So we're going to finish up with the big, one of my favorite scenes in a movie, the Battle of Pelennor Fields from Lord of the Rings. I will see you kids in, several hours live at Tucson Games and Gadgets. And then I'll see you 21 hours for anyone who doesn't make it. Wake up, Tucson. Matt, have a good day.